Morning. Am I on? Can you hear me? Every time I'm up here, I'm always amazed whenever I think about the spiritual nature of what this is. Because for me, I don't know about you guys, it's very easy for me to get into routine. Yeah, it's Sunday, we do communion. Sometimes I forget what this is. I don't think about it. What this means here on the earth, what this means in the heavens, what we are remembering here, what we are celebrating here. So this morning, I want to talk about the unity of the Spirit. When we talk about communion between one another, and I'm going to share some of the things that the Lord has been saying to me. As much as I love communion with one another, the enemy is against the unity of spirit. There is nothing that he hates more than when we are one with one another and one with the Father. So I'm going to read out of Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 16. Paul speaks, "As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." And a lot of times I start thinking about, especially when I'm dealing with brothers and sisters in Christ, the body of Christ, I start thinking about what I'm doing, what they're doing. And a lot of times I put aside what God has done, not what we're doing, but what God has done. Verse 7 says, this is what he has done. "As a result of this, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earth regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure to the fullness of Christ. Then we will be no longer infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself in love as each part does its work." So when I see you guys, when we think about communion in the body, I invite you this morning to ask for the Lord for a fresh impartation, a fresh reminder, then that your neighbor, the person sitting next to you, your loved one, the one that may have hurt you or the one that you may have hurt, the person that you're not reconciled with, that person is someone that has been imparted a specific grace by the Lord, is someone that is part of the big picture of building the body of Christ so that not only, one, we may mature, as it says here, not only that we may be closer to the Lord, but so that the outside world that may not know how to do this may have a picture of how it's done. And that a fuller picture of God may be put on display through us. So this morning, I invite you to join me in receiving a reminder, a new impartation of what it means to reconcile with one's brother, because it's outside of us. It's about building the kingdom up. Thank you. You may come forward. Ushers will release you row by row. You may take the elements, return to your seats, and we'll partake together. And the offering this morning is for hope.
By his stripes we are healed, by his nail-pierced hands we're free, by his blood we're washed clean, now we have the victory. The power of sin is broken, Jesus so came it all. He has won our freedom, Jesus has won it all. Alleluia, you have won. God is risen, he is alive, he won the victory, he reigns on high. Our God is risen, he is alive, he won the victory, he reigns on high.
Gracious Heavenly Father, I'm so proud to be your son. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for giving me the body of Christ. Lord, I pray that you would, this morning, impart a fresh reminder, Lord, that we are one, and that reconciliation is the last thing that the enemy wants. That building unity in the Spirit is everything that you want. So I pray, Lord, that you'd bring us closer to you for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. You take and eat. Do we have announcements?
Good morning. We welcome you to our Father's house. And we're so thankful to have you with us today. If this is your very first Sunday with us, we want to encourage you to fill out that guest card that you received when you came in. And then immediately after the service, we have a reception for you in the hospitality room by the front door. Give you an opportunity to meet with our pastors right after the service. Just a few things I want to bring to your attention. First, I know that I'm always looking for good Christian humor. You don't find hardly any of it in mainstream media, do we? It's all filthy out there, it seems. Well, CareNet is sponsoring a Christian comedy night so that you can take your friend, you can take your beloved for a date night, and enjoy a real special evening together on Saturday, September 15 at 6 o'clock, Patuxent High. So you got an insert in the bulletin. There's a link at the bottom. Just you can log in, get the information, and all the money that for the tickets is being used for this special fundraiser to benefit CareNet. Just a couple of other things. Dance ministry is starting back up on Thursday, August the 30th, from 6:30 to 7:30 here at the church. And there's a lineup of classes which we'll be having starting in the fall on September the 12th here on Wednesday nights, 6:30 to 8 o'clock. That list is in the bulletin, and probably one of the ones that we want to strongly encourage every family in the church to participate in is the Financial Peace University on the back of the insert. It says here, Pastor Lanny's encouraging every single one of us to get out of debt, to start saving, and to start building the kingdom of God. Get your finances aligned to God's purposes for your life. If you have not taken that class, we encourage everyone to participate in that. So that'll be taking place that Wednesday night, along with several other classes. They're listed in your bulletin. And anybody interested in the marriage retreat coming up in the first weekend in October, there's a sign-up sheet in the lobby. Okay, gentlemen, if you can come up for the tithes and the offerings. Zaid?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your provision, Lord. We thank you that we have a heart after you, Lord, that you are our model. Lord, you tell us that where our treasure is where our heart is, Lord. You also tell us in Proverbs 3 that if we honor you with the first fruits of our crops, Lord, that our barns will overflow. So I pray, Lord, that you would bless these tithes and offering, Lord, as we honor you, Lord, and as we display your spirit of generosity, Lord, that these tithes and offering will build up your kingdom to honor you even more. In Jesus' name, amen. You may now rise and help me welcome Pastor Jay Patterson.
There's a Bible up here. Whoa. Good morning. Welcome to our Father's house. We are re-engaging right now the preaching series that Pastor Robin and I have been on off and on as we've been having VBS and we've been having encounter service last Sunday, and so we're moving back into that this time. So if you haven't been with us during this message series, I would encourage you to go back onto our YouTube channel and view it because it is part of what God is doing right now in our Father's house in moving us towards our community. And he's stirring things up. He's doing a fresh stirring of all of that. So I'd encourage you to catch wind of what's taking place there and the trajectory that our preaching series has been on. Because God's doing some really cool stuff. And I personally am very excited about how he's been lining things up. So just as a very mini recap, I preached a sermon several weeks ago about how we have the opportunity to be a neighbor to our neighbors. And it really is to take that step and be the neighbor, not ask the question, like in the story of the Good Samaritan, well, who is my neighbor? You get to be the neighbor to somebody else. So step in there, take that initiative, and recognize that God has a place for you to reach out to those that are around you. And I also spoke about how individuals matter, how God really sees that each one of us really is important. We all raised our hand. I'm an individual. And look around. Everybody's an individual, and we all need Jesus. And he moves through one another to bless us. So take that initiative and go that extra mile. Pastor Robin got up here and preached an awesome message about Jesus' heart of evangelism. And she spoke about how Jesus would pencil people in. You remember her using that phrase? He would pencil them in, and he would go out of his way to reach those that others would pass by, that others wouldn't see. That, again, the individual matters, regardless of their background, regardless of what's going on in their life. Jesus would go out of the way to reach everybody. He really cared about us. And that same thing is in us. So she challenged us. He said, who is it that you need to pencil in? Who is it that you've always kind of held back on? Well, I'll talk to them another time. But who is it that you can go, that God has put in your pathway to go and speak to? Pencil them in, make that appointment, and show up there for them. So I loved where that's going. So where's the direction that we're heading? We're taking the shift of our focus here out into our community. And God is stirring our hearts that way. He's lining some things up. I'll talk about that again at the end of this message. But I want to talk to you today about community, about our community, and about church. Okay? If you go to Galatians chapter 1, 1 through 5, we hear this. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia. So there's the address. This is who I am speaking to. To the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians 1, 1 through 3. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and to our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. And we get into Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. These are all introductions. This is, dear John, dear Mary. But who is he addressing? He's addressing a regional church. And he's speaking to them as a unit. Even when he groups them, the churches, in, he's speaking to them as a unit because God sees them as a unit. Now, there's a context for church at that time that's different than what we see today, right? These are places where Paul and others had traveled to, and they had seeded these churches. They'd established these churches, and they're building them up, and they're strengthening them. And these churches often were in networks in people's homes, meeting where they could, sometimes underground. They're often persecuted. There's 2,000 years of church history between that time and us here today. And especially in America, we are insulated from a lot of the persecution and the real-life stuff that took place in those people's lives and is taking place in many people's lives, our brothers and sisters across this planet right now. When we talk about church, we think about what's here inside this building a lot of times. You might even go as far as thinking about the individuals that are sitting around you right now, because truly, we are the church. This is a building we call church, but the church is the ecclesia. It is the people. So we are the church. But recognize that there was a different context that was going on there. It was very personal. It was very relational. They were starting something new, something fresh, and it had never been done before. And so what Paul was doing and what others were doing was going around and they were feeding them and seeding them and working and answering big questions, theological questions that for many of these folks, let's recall, they have no Jewish background. They don't have all that, the law and everything else. There's a lot that had to be taught and worked in. But they had an identity as a church in a region. So even though we have this 2,000 years of distance between us and all this history that's taken place, and we have a different construct of what we think of as church, we've now split up into all these different denominations, and I believe this doctrine, and I believe this doctrine, I'm going to camp over here, and I'm going to camp over here. The body of Christ is quite large. And it's important for us to understand the concept of churches operating in a region, because it's still relevant today, even if it's not our first thought. So we see in the letters to the churches in those various regions that there are characteristics and qualities that they carried with them. And they're known for things. And there's things that needed to be addressed in particular in each of the regions, because there are different challenges they were facing. There's different cultures that were going on there. There were different spirits that they were facing from a regional level. We'll get into that a little bit later. We see Jesus speaking very specific things to the seven churches in Revelation regarding those qualities, both positive and negative. So the churches have characteristics because it has to do with the region and the people that are living inside there. Let's look in Revelation chapter 2, just an example. This is Jesus speaking. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. Remember, this is a regional church. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. You see, Jesus spoke about their positive virtues. He also spoke about the negative things that he'd seen going on there. And he talks to them about, you need to adjust this, shift, because I'm coming. I need you to be acting this way. I need you to address these things. It's very personal, but again, it's on that regional level, that corporate body. See, from a spiritual perspective, churches in regions have spiritual jurisdiction. There are demons, there are dark forces that are at work in different regions. Remember, the enemy is not omnipresent. Amen, right? Our God is omnipresent. The enemy is not, and he has limited resources. But those limited resources do hang out in different regions, and they like to take land. They like to hold out in places. They like to cause and stir up trouble there. They want to be worshipped as gods. These are fallen angels, okay? And this is a very real thing. You might not be able to see them with your eyes. You may be able to if you've been gifted that way. But this is a reality. It's a spiritual reality. It's a dynamic that is there. So there's such thing as jurisdictional authority. Recall that the context we live in the body of Christ, is one of warfare. It is spiritual warfare. And it's ongoing all the time. Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's not people that are the problem. It's the stuff that's going on behind the scenes. Okay? We don't wrestle with the people. We're wrestling with principalities, powers. We're wrestling with mindsets. We're wrestling with things that are below the surface, but they're very real. And the Lord gives us jurisdictional authority in the regions we are meant to inhabit, or where He sends us. When you're at your home, that's where you're supposed to be. When you're the Lord's, guess who owns that place? Guess who has authority in that place? You might not think about that. You may even forget that. But He has given you authority and He has given you power to exercise in that place. And demonic forces must submit to that. Now that's your home. But regionally, you have jurisdictional authority as a church because He put you there. He put you in that place to represent Him. He put you in that place to rule and to reign on behalf of those that are there, on His behalf, for the benefit of those who are there. He may send you to another region that is outside your jurisdictional authority. But when you are on mission, you have authority there because you're carrying credentials with you that says, "My king authorized me to come here and represent him." Don't operate there without those credentials, by the way, because you're outside of your realm of grace. And when you're outside your realm of grace, watch your head. Okay? But when He sends you, you are where you're supposed to be. So, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. It says that in 1 John 3:8. And that is the work that He has given us to do, to rescue people out of darkness, to redeem the lost, to set captives free. He is about destroying the works of the enemy, and He is our lead. We're to follow that. And when He comes and lives inside us, and when His Holy Spirit comes and lives inside us, and we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and His power comes through us, we have the ability to go and release that, to free that, to bring light into darkness, to bring power into those situations. His power, because He's moving through us and He's living through us. Now, that's not just individually, that's corporately. We think about me, what am I doing? But what are we doing? Right? There's something that happens, like Zaid was talking about this morning, when believers come together in unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. When we're not having factions and disagreements and all these other things between us, the Holy Spirit is not inhibited. What does the enemy not want? He does not want us to be in agreement with the Lord. He does not want us to be living at peace with one another. He does not want us to be in unity with one another. He wants disagreements. He wants factions. He wants us backbiting. He wants us talking about things behind people's back. He wants all of that because it causes disorder. Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the one who destroys the authority that establishes disorder. God doesn't want disorder. He wants order in the house. Okay? So we work to restore peace to situations. We are to be a people of peace. We talked about these churches in these different regions. Galatia, Ephesus, Colossae, Thessalonica. I always like that one. Thessalonica. Just sounds fun. Are you aware that there is a church in Southern Maryland? I'll say that again. Are you aware that there is a church in Southern Maryland?
Yeah.
There you go. And it's not just this place. It's not just these people. There is a church in Southern Maryland. It is a regional thing. We are a part of that. It's not just OFH. It's not just an Assembly of God thing or a charismatic thing. It's not just those of us who are from a renewalist background or Baptist background or Catholic background or any of those things. This is a God thing. He doesn't fit inside our boxes. And thank God for it. We are part of His church, His people, His body of Christ. And while we here are a distinct people with a distinct expression of His grace, that we display, we are only one facet of the church here in Southern Maryland. And we need to keep that in mind. We are one facet of the church that is here in Southern Maryland. You have brothers and sisters that are walking around here, that are living in houses, that are in your neighborhoods, that are in your workplaces. And they love Jesus every bit as much as you do. And he's using them every bit as much as he's using you. And he died for them and has purpose in them just as much as he does with you. They happen to meet under a different roof. They have a different expression to put on display. You know, every place on this planet has unique qualities that make it significant in some way. And where we live here in Southern Maryland is no different in that respect. But there are qualities that are worth noting for us here in this place, because this is our land. This is our land. Being here in Southern Maryland truly is something that we should appreciate, honor, and be thankful for. This is an amazing, amazing place. It's important for us to own and understand the history that we have inherited in the location that we are in. We have inherited a history. We can't change our history. It's come to us. So we got to look at what we are owning that's come down to us here in this physical location. It's also important for us to own our place in history that is occurring right now, this moment. Right now, this moment, history is being made across our counties here in Southern Maryland and nationally and in different locations that are at work and at play here. And finally, it's important for us to understand that we are building a platform for those who follow us in the future, namely our children and our children's children and those of the people who are coming here who don't yet know it. Did you know you were coming here? Some of us were born here. And this is your native land. Many of us have come here, and this is our adopted land. I'm from California. I had no idea I was coming to Southern Maryland. But God called us here, and now that we are here, this is our land. This is where he's called us to. And we have a responsibility before God to steward this place in our time. Corporately. We have to recognize that. And again, not just us here at our Father's house. The body of Christ, the church in Southern Maryland, has a responsibility to God in this place because he has a trajectory. He has had this land in for over 400 years now. Just less than 400 years, people came here from Europe. But there was already people here, you know that? This is actually a very well-inhabited place when Europeans landed here on these shores. But we have a history here from a European context that's almost 400 years old. 1634 is when they landed here, looking for a place for religious tolerance. Come on. This is the birthplace of Maryland is here. It doesn't get much older than that in America, folks. And we're sitting on top of that. We're building our house on top of places that were farms that could have been any number of things before they were farms. I mean, there's some rich, deep history that goes on, that went on here. We have very unique geography here. There's the Potomac, there's the Patuxent, there's the Chesapeake. Did you know when they came here, they started farming tobacco? Tobacco grows great here in Southern Maryland. Do you know what you need to do to farm tobacco in that time frame? You need slaves. Slavery and the history of slavery goes all the way back into our early parts of this land and this history here. Now, if you're going to own the history of this location, you've got to understand the good and the bad that went along with it, because it is what has shaped where we are now here today. There's some racial tension that runs deep because it goes back hundreds of years, literally, in this location. We got to recognize that because God's after something in this time about that. You know, when what's incredible about this region geographically from that standpoint, though, with farming tobacco here, is that there's coastal waterways that run all the way around us. There's highways built in for all the different trade that was going on here, and that shaped the types of economies that took place here. When we had the War of 1812, the British kept trying to get a location here in southern Maryland so they could get close up into D.C. So this land was contested then. You had plantation owners that kept getting raided by the British. Then we have the Civil War, and you have lots of stuff going back on both sides here, people sympathizing both ways. This land has been shifting back and forth. It's always hotly contested. It's always in the midst of everything, but just kind of south of D.C., right? But God's doing stuff here, and he's shaped us all the way from the beginning of us coming here to where we are now by our geography. History has happened to us. It's happened through us. And he's got a trajectory that we're on. When the naval base got here, what a perfect location for putting a naval air station. Just south of D.C., you can go test all sorts of stuff out right there. Right? Our geography has shaped us. Many of us are here in this room because of that base right over there. It has brought you here. It has brought you here. Don't think that for a moment God doesn't have a plan in what he's doing in all this. And we have a responsibility to say, God, what are you redeeming in this time? This is a hotly contested area. This is an ancient area as far as America is concerned. What do you have for us in this time, in this season, and where are you moving? So we got to catch wind of that. You may or may not know it, but there's new people showing up here. There's more people showing up here. This place is growing. It's probably due for a change of the layout, new neighborhoods that are going in, new stores coming in. You see more and more coming in here. And there's already people that are living here that are established here. There's a lot of work for the church in Southern Maryland to do because there's a lot of people here already who need Jesus, and there's more that are coming, more families, more young people. And we as a church need to be mindful of that because there's more work than one congregation can do here. There's more work than one congregation can do. There isn't more work than Jesus can handle. Especially not more work than he can handle through his church in Southern Maryland. Now, I'm not talking to you from a denominational mindset where we work within our constructs of our ranks and our various forms of religious dogma. I'm not talking about all that. And I'm not talking about everybody's equal and we all believe the same thing, because I don't want you to hear me wrong. There's bad doctrine out there. There's heretical concepts that are espoused by other churches, other individuals, and we are supposed to be wise and wary about those things. Okay? So don't hear me that. We don't accept everything. But that should not keep us from building relationships and working alongside our brothers and sisters throughout this community who love and follow Jesus, believe in the veracity of Scripture, and allow God's Word and the Holy Spirit to continue to transform their lives. People who are following Jesus. That's going to happen in other church, other congregational settings, joining with other congregations, joining with other organizations, but also for you individually. You got to be looking out for those other Christians that are in your circles. Say, you know what? We're walking together right now. God has us together. Let's pray together. That's a good Christian word. Let's fellowship together. Let's be around one another so that we can sharpen iron. We can rub each other, get sharper and sharper together. Because you know something I don't know, and I may know something you don't know, but we both know Jesus. We're both dependent on him. get sharper and sharper and sharper. Stuff gets cut down in those situations. We're talking about things from a kingdom reality and a kingdom mindset, because that's the way God functions. He looks at it from the kingdom. We've built denominations, but God looks at it from the kingdom mindset. God is working to break down many of those interdenominational barriers to relationships that have been happening for so long. I've been in some of these corporate settings where you see people from different denominations who love Jesus coming together to worship and pray and lift up our land, our base, our work, all those things and say, Lord, we come before you as your representatives in this place, and we just call on your grace for what's taking place here. And it is powerful when that takes place, because the enemy hates it and God loves it. He loves seeing his people come together in the unity of spirit, the bond of peace, calling on his name for things, aligning with what he said he's going to do, calling and saying, Lord, we just want to draw that down right here, right now. That stuff has been stifled for a long time, and God's busting it apart. We got to come together as the body of Christ, joined together by the Spirit of God. And when we do, his power is released. It's strong. There's strength in it. We come together as one in the name of the one who saved us. It brings power to our prayers, our petitions together before the one who says, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. So there's some good news to report about what the Spirit of God is doing right now among the various congregations here in Southern Maryland. There's some stuff that's stirring, and it is amazing. You may or may not know this, we got pastors that are meeting together regularly praying over our region. They're starting to have conversations that never happened before. They're working together as teams on things, and it's just amazing to see that type of fluidity between them in relationship. That's a powerful thing, folks. When you have leaders that are joining together and saying, hey, you're my brother, what's God doing right now? That's an amazing thing. There are multiple instances of various churches trying to draw together and come together and fellowship together and getting their people knowing one another. That's powerful stuff. I'm going to talk very specifically about something that some of you may have heard about, maybe others haven't yet, but this is the Hope clothing drive that we're embarking on here in 2 weeks from yesterday, the 25th of August. We're doing something that's familiar to us, but new in an expression. We're going to Church of the Ascension, working with Hope and the other churches that are partnered with Hope to bring clothing to our community and to really just bless people with our best. It's an exciting thing. We're working with another organization where we're saying, let's come together as the body of Christ and bless the people in our community. Just love on them. Just give them what's needed and bless them. No strings attached, we're just there to bless them. Love people. This is practical stuff. It's easy stuff. And let God do what he's going to do through us, because when we are there, he is there. We don't know what opportunities might spring up from these situations, but we're there to love on people and bring the Father's love to those in our community who have a very real and apparent need. There are other real and unapparent needs that are going on in our community as well. We're trying to address those. But at the same time as we're having this clothing drive, we're having the mobile food pantry, the same location. This is just cool how this thing came together. And I've said it before, we're feeding and clothing our neighbors at a capacity we've never been able to do before. And why? Because we're partnering with others in the area. Let's combine our efforts. This isn't a competition thing. We get to combine our efforts. What is it? One can put 1,000 to flight, two can put what? 10,000 to flight. That's an exponential increase. We are stronger together than we are apart. And when we lay hold of those things, who knows what God's going to do? And it's not about this place is in charge and that place is in charge. Let's come together and bring all the glory to our Father, because that's who deserves it. Bottom line. So if you haven't yet signed up for this clothing drive, I highly encourage you to do it. We have a bulletin board out there in the lobby, and I know we're going to have some ladies that are standing there. They can answer your questions, because different from last couple years, and actually many years, we're not having it here. We're actually having it there at Church of the Ascension. So there's a whole logistics trail with getting clothes there and getting things set up, and we're expecting a lot of clothes. There's sorting that's happening. So the whole week leading up to this thing, there is a lot of activity that's going on. And then that Saturday morning, people are coming in, and people are coming for food. And we're expecting that people are going to be going to both places. This is an exciting event that's taking place. And I don't get to be there on Saturday. So, unfortunately, as I shared with you several weeks ago, a good friend of many of us, a dear brother, Tim Pickens, lost his life in a head-on car accident down in Texas. And at that time, Pastor Lanny and I, we committed ourselves to being there for Tim's memorial service, which is on his birthday on the 25th of August. Many of you know Jen. We're there to be with her and her family, just to show them support through this time, because we love them. You know, our relationships with Tim go way back. And so we're committed there. And this has all taken place since that prior commitment. So I'm not going to be able to be there on Saturday. But I tell you what I'm going to be doing in that whole week leading up to this event. I'm looking for every way that I can help out with this event. And so I'd ask each of you that even if you can't make it there on that Saturday, look for ways that you can be involved in leading into this event, because every single thing that we do matters. Every box that's moved, every thing that's hung up on a rack, anything we can do to help out here is going to be meaningful, because it is part of the logistics trail of getting that item of clothes or those items of clothes into the hands of our neighbors. So I encourage you to do what I'm going to be doing. And if you can be there on Saturday, whether it's going to be at the clothing drive or at the mobile food pantry, be there. And this isn't just a women's thing and a men's thing, and we're keeping these things segregated, really. This is a church thing. Find out where you can be most helpful and be there. We need guys that are going to help sort clothes, too. We need guys that are going to be present on that day. We need a male presence. And we need a female presence there, too. This is exciting stuff that we're doing here, because we're moving out there. So please, if you haven't signed up yet, go out there. They've itemized what times and slots and things like that. It's great. Sign your name and be there, because we're going to not just be there as our church, but as the church in Southern Maryland caring for our neighbors. So I'm super excited about that. And by the way, if you've already signed up, thank you very much. Guys, we're like 2 weeks out, and we have a lot of people signed up. This is exciting to see the response that you've already given. We got a whole closet full of clothes over there that we got to start bringing things across. That's very good. Another really cool event that's coming up is at the fair in September. We're going to have what's called a community concert of prayer at the Tolerance Hall. They wouldn't let one church in there, so they're having to let the Church of Southern Maryland in there. It's open to all churches. It says, join St. Mary's Churches, united in prayer for our country, communities, and churches and schools. All churches of Christian faith are welcome to participate, as well as the entire community. That's going to be Friday, September the 21st at 7 p.m., Tolerance Hall. Be there at the fair and get a funnel cake and whatever, but we're going to come together and we're going to pray and lift up the name of Jesus in our county, in our region, and ask for his intervention. We're calling on the name of Christ to come in unity. This is powerful stuff. This doesn't just happen every day. Be part of this. Talk to your Christian friends in the Church of Southern Maryland and have them come to this too. Let's get there and be there. Oh, this is good stuff. And then we just talked about the fall classes that are coming up. Brian Jamerson's putting together a class right now called Breaking Down, Removing Barriers to Evangelism. A lot of us get scared to evangelize because of questions that haven't even been asked of us yet. So we don't say anything. We don't do anything. You see how God's stirring all this stuff up right now? So we have our lead teacher is putting together a class on removing barriers to evangelism. He's going to talk about dismantling different questions and challenges that we've put in front of ourselves that the enemy hasn't even thrown out there yet. Roadblocks that may or may not even be there, but he's going to help you dismantle those things so that you can speak in authority when someone may ask you those things, and so that you will be willing to speak when God tells you to speak. This is cool stuff. God is doing something here for us. So I want you to join us as we're moving this direction, because God has so much to pour out through you as a people, through the church here in Southern Maryland, through your friends, your neighbors who are believers in Christ, and we get to be a part of it. So I encourage you to say, Lord, what do you have for me in this? What do you have in me that needs to change? You may be seasoned in evangelism. You may be seasoned in community work. You may be seasoned in all of that, but God's not done with you yet. Ask him, what do you have for me in this season? Please stand. Father, we are so thankful today that we live in Southern Maryland. We are thankful for this land. We are thankful for the history that we have inherited, Lord, and for the trajectory that you have us on, Lord, because you look to redeem all things. So, Lord, we, as your body, come before you and say, inhabit us and allow us to do the works that you have for us. Lord, we pray for our counties, we pray for our schools, we pray for our governmental systems, we pray for the businesses here, we pray for our children, Lord. And Lord, we pray for the church in Southern Maryland to come together in unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace, to call on your name, Jesus, to come and shake this land. I thank you for the covenants that have been made with you over the centuries here, Lord, by people who have sought after you and said, Lord, we want to be your people in this place. Lord, I just call on all those covenants, and I ask right now, Lord, that you would begin to put action to some things that have been seated in the ground and waited for the rains to fall. We call on your rain, Lord, on your people. And Lord, we pray for those that are coming that don't even know it yet, Lord, that you would begin to prepare their hearts for what you have for them here in Southern Maryland. Lord, as you're reshaping the face of this community, as you're reshaping the stores and the businesses and the homes and the neighborhoods and the roadways and all that stuff, Lord, I ask that you would give a strategic focus on what you're planning to do, Lord. In the spheres of influence that we have, Lord, where we can help shape that, I ask that you would give us your wisdom, your word in the moment to make changes that are necessary for the benefit of the people that are living here, Lord. I thank you for all that are here listening to my voice right now, Lord. I ask that you would begin to stir them up and show them what it is that you have for them in this season. We thank you, Jesus. In your mighty name, amen. If you need to do business with the Lord, I invite you up front. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now, I would love to pray with you right over here to the right of the stage. God bless. Have a great week. Also, if you need prayer for healing, come on forward. I also ask the healing teams to come up, and we're going to pray for you as well. God bless you.